This is The Table Business, a Sounds Like Adventure podcast all about people doing great work in the tabletop world. On this show, we're going to speak to the independent creators who make the games that you and I love. I'm your host and the DM of Sounds Like Adventure, Jack Traynor. We're back. Hey, it's another episode of The Table Business. It's me, Jack. How you going? Thanks for joining us for another week, and I'm so glad you have, because on this episode, we're diving deep on that thing that I love, it's podcasting. Hey, I'm tearing down the walls, I'm bringing other podcasters in. We're having a great time. So on today's episode, I'm joined by Star from Characters Without Stories. It's a really cool podcast, and Star's going to tell us all about it. In addition to that, we're going to talk about some of the challenges involved with being a podcaster, and Star will talk about some of the biggest lessons that she's learned in her podcasting journey. But hey, with all that in mind, let's dive in. Star, welcome to the show.
Thank you. I'm so happy to be here.
So to start things out, you're the creator of the podcast Characters Without Stories. So in a few sentences, can you start out by telling us a bit about yourself and about the podcast?
Right. So I live in Eugene, Oregon. I'm a mom. I've lived here for only about 3 years. I'm, you know, from the Bay Area, from California. I started Characters Without Stories, I guess, about a year and a half, 2 years ago now. And I started playing TTRPGs probably about 3 years ago now. So I got into TTRPGs, got completely hooked, and started a podcast. So very, very quickly into it.
Classic trajectory right there.
Yeah.
Can you take me back those 3 years ago when you dove into the TTRPG world? How did it start for you? What's your origin story?
It's so funny because I don't really remember. I played my first TTRPG, which was the Palladium Rifts, and that was in, like 1997. I was in college, and I played it once, and then I did a LARP, and I encountered a really creepy dude, and I said, I don't want to do this anymore. And then I've always been really into fantasy, and so I guess it just got in my head that I should try D&D, and I don't remember why, but when we moved here to Eugene, you know, we didn't have any friends here. And I thought, well, this will be a great way to meet people. And then almost immediately after I started trying to find a D&D group, COVID happened. So it very quickly became, okay, now I have to find an online group. And then I did. And I made some really close friends that I still play with 3 years later. And it just kind of snowballed from there.
So now let's talk about Characters Without Stories. So you touched on it briefly before, but let's dive in now. What's the show? What's the whole premise?
The premise is that I interview people about characters they haven't had a chance to play yet. And I personally, and this is kind of why I started to develop a roster of characters that were just waiting for games. And I fell in love with each of them, and I really wanted them to happen, and I didn't have games for them. I didn't even have the time to play all the games that I would have had to play them. And I thought, you know, I'm probably not the only one that feels that way. And so it just became a thing like, I'm going to try this. And I liked it. And so I kept doing it. And so I started out, it was very much like, tell me the stats of your D&D character. And I realized pretty early on that what was a lot more interesting was talking to people about what characters meant to them and what character building meant to them and why they play games. And those have been kind of my favorite episodes. Nothing against, you know, my first episode, I still love it. It's with my friend Andrew. I think it's great. It's a lot of fun. But it kind of evolved over time.
So there's a lot of actual play shows out there, but much less interview shows. Why did you decide to host an interview show instead of an actual play?
I, at that point, didn't feel comfortable enough playing in that kind of a public setting. And I wasn't yet, I think I started the podcast very shortly after starting to run my first D&D campaign. And I am still very much a player. I am not a GM who immediately got hooked and was like, this is what I want to do all the time. So, you know, it would have had to have been something that somebody else initiated, and nobody was initiating it. And then my friend, Andrew, who's the guest on my first episode, was like, I'm going to do a podcast. And I was like, great, I'll be your first guest. And he was just going to be like a chat show. And we did the episode and just nothing ever happened with it. He never really did anything with it. But I had so much fun. For my day job, I was doing this like alumni newsletter and interviewing alumni. And I really enjoyed the process of talking to people and asking them about themselves and hearing about their stories. And it just kind of transitioned. I didn't even really like think about that.
And this concept itself is quite unique. How did you settle on this idea?
You know, just like the reason why I started playing TTRPGs, and I don't really remember why I got that bug and really wanted to do it. It's actually pretty similar about why I decided to start the podcast. I think it was just, you know, I have characters that I want to play. I know my friends have characters that they want to play. I really want to talk about them and tell people how cool they are. And I know people that feel the same way. So I knew that I would just immediately have a roster of people who wanted to come on the podcast. It would be very easy to find guests. And you know, to me, I was like, well, okay, that checks one thing off the list. I don't have to worry about that. And so it just became very easy. You know, I did the first episode and honestly, I just threw it out there. I just got it out there, didn't really have a plan or anything. And then once I did it, it just kind of snowballed because it was so easy. People just wanted to come on and talk about their characters.
I must say, we started chatting to try and get you to come onto the table business. And I took a look at the show, I had a listen to some audio, and I mentioned to Chai and Jacob, the guys who I do my actual play podcast with, I'm like, oh, you guys should check out this show. Very, really cool idea. Talk about characters that haven't actually been in games yet. And straight away, they were both like, oh, I got this character. Here's my character. Like, so I think you've really hit the nail on the head with this idea. Do you have like a favorite story that you've encountered? Like one of your favorites that you look back on where you're like, man, I'm so glad I made this show and I got to hear this story.
You know, it's interesting. I have episodes that are favorites for different reasons. And there's usually like little pieces that I'll pick out and it's like choosing a favorite child. It's kind of hard. Early on, I think one of the episodes that really kind of showed me where I wanted to go with the podcast, it changed what I thought the podcast could do, was an episode I did in the first season with a creator, a TTRPG writer called Kurt. His name is Kurt Reffling. And his episode, we talked about a game that I had never played. I still haven't played, called A Thousand-Year-Old Vampire. And it's a really interesting game. I am not a solo TTRPGer. I probably never will be. I probably will never play this game, but it looks amazing, sounds amazing. But the conversation was more than just about this character. The topics that we touched on, I thought were really interesting, just kind of like, why do we play games? What do we want to experience when we play games? Are we looking for emotional impact? Are we just looking for fun? What is it about building characters that appeals to us? What is it about inhabiting characters that changes us, that gives us the experience that we're looking for when we play TTRPGs? And even just the process of talking about the game and the way the game handles memory is fascinating. The idea of inhabiting a character who is just slowly going to lose themselves is really kind of tragic and poignant, and just a really interesting idea.
You touched on such a common thing in the podcast world before. We recorded the first episode. We were so excited about it. It was great. And then sort of nothing came off it. But that didn't happen to you. You recorded the episode and you just put it out, and you said you put it out without a plan even, which is the other thing that a lot of people really struggle to overcome, is the idea of like, no, I need to have all of my ducks aligned before I even press go on one element of it. So how did you go from someone who's never even made a podcast before to being like, I'm both feet in, jumping out, no safety net, see what happens? How did you do it?
I have taught myself everything that I know about podcasting. I taught myself how to use Audition. I taught myself how to use a mic. I taught myself how to do all of the social media and everything. It has been rocky. I listen back to my first episodes and I'm like, ooh. They could use some work. But I also really love listening back to those first episodes and seeing how far I've come and how much I've learned over the process. But I think I just started, I did a little bit of research. We recorded using the Craig bot in Discord, which is, I was already familiar with that because we were recording some of our playing. And so I knew that. I didn't know anything else, so I thought I'll do that. And then I was like, okay, well, now I need to find a way to get it up somewhere. I did research. I found out something. I incorporated it, and then I did more research and found something out and learned it and incorporated it. So that's just kind of been my process. I think for me, if I had tried to come in with a strong plan and build out this whole timeline with a lot of moving parts, it never would have happened. I needed, and you know, I came from an art background. I did fine art. I think I always needed to just get the idea out there and see how it worked and then decide what worked and what didn't and iterate. And I think I'm still doing that.
I could not relate more to what you're saying right now. That process is it's my process as well. Just get it out. Do it. I tend to take the tact of I'm going to just overcommit myself, and because of that, I'll have a bit too much that I need to do. So because of that, I'll settle on some things, and that way it'll get out. Because if I give myself too much time, I will fall into perfectionism. The interesting thing that I noticed then about what you just spoke about, you didn't talk about any doubt of the thing not being good, and you didn't talk about any imposter syndrome stuff. Those are two major things. So I'm curious, how much of like doubt and imposter syndrome, how much do they play a role in your process?
I think, you know, what you're saying about overcommitting, so you always have too much to do and you have to kind of settle. Very much I'm the same way. And part of it is, you know, I come from a fine art background. We're constantly getting critiques, and you have to just kind of come to terms with not everybody's going to like this. But also, I never came into this going, I'm going to make money. This is going to be my job. I am still very much coming at it from the hobbyist perspective and just being like, I have a day job. I'm going to keep doing that day job. I have other commitments. So if this doesn't work out, it's no big loss, right? I think the other thing is the doubt and the imposter syndrome comes after the release. I'm happy with it. And so I put it out there and I'm like, yeah, this is great. And then just like the artistic process, I think a lot of people, you're like, this is amazing. And then, you know, it gets out there and you're like, I hate it. I'm terrible. And then you come back around to liking it. So that's a lot for me. You know, I'll put it out an episode and I'll be like, this is awesome. And then I'll listen back to it and go, editing mistakes. But then I'll come back around and I'll go, no, but, you know, the story's good. The content's good. The editing mistakes can be overlooked. I can come back and re-edit. And that's kind of what I'm doing right now, is just re-editing a lot of my older episodes.
What do you think the biggest lesson that you've learned since you've started podcasting is?
Before I started the podcast, I started doing TikTok. And when I started doing TikTok, I was just consuming. I wasn't posting any videos or anything. And I mean, maybe it's just getting into my 40s. I started, and I think TikTok is a little bit freeing because it's not, for a lot of TikTokers and, you know, a lot of the TikTokers that I love, it's a very informal kind of your authentic self. You're putting your authentic self out there. And so when I started doing that, part of it, it kind of gave me the confidence to be confident in other areas. So I'm doing an actual play now. I'm on a stream every week, and I wouldn't have done that 3 years ago. I wouldn't have done that before podcasting. So it's given me confidence in other areas of my life. And, you know, of course, anytime somebody tells you that they like something you do, that little bit of ego boost helps too. But I think the part that I'm least confident about is the marketing, and that's something that's really kind of getting the confidence to put yourself out there and say, I really like this thing that I did, and I think you'll like it, and you should listen to it. And I'm going to actually say that instead of being like, you should listen. I think you'll kind of like it. Maybe it's kind of good. You know, just being like, this is great. You'll like it. Listen to it.
That's great. I love all of this. Tell me a little bit about this actual play.
Yeah, so I honestly started as, I think I was filling in for somebody who dropped out of the campaign. But I'll also say podcasting has introduced me and TikTok has introduced me to a lot of people I would never have met otherwise. So this is actually a friend that I met on TikTok. He said, hey, I'm doing an all-woman stream, an all-woman D&D stream. Are you interested in joining? It's just going to be like a 6-episode mini campaign. And I was like, I can commit to 6 episodes. I'll do it. And it was really daunting at first because, like I said, I had not really done streaming. And the women in the group are so amazing. There's 6 players and the GM, one of the best DMs I've ever played for. And it's called the Moonstone Matriarchy. It's on Dian Denial. I should have led with that. you should check it out. It's great. I am proud of it. But it's about a, you know, group of women who are trying to, you know, kind of save the realm. And it's a very like lunar themed. It's become very sapphic and or a bunch of like very horny women out in the world, you know, just cuddle piles and, you know, tossing all her clothes and running naked in the woods. It's a very female. and I love that about it. But yeah, I think I've cried so much in that campaign. The DM really pulls no punches with my character. So
tell me a little bit about your character for that game then.
Yeah, so I am playing a Herengon wild magic sorcerer called Cappy. The inspiration for the character, so I heard, okay, this is going to be lunar. And I thought, well, the rabbit and the moon, you know, the Japanese, they see a rabbit or we see a man. So I thought, okay, rabbit and the moon, I'll be a Herengon.
Herengon is a rabbit person for anyone who's not listening and doesn't know.
Yeah. So I thought, okay, rabbits. And then I just kind of landed on magician's rabbit. So I am like a magician's rabbit, like a white rabbit with like the short ears. I just happen to be big. And then I thought, okay, well, wild magic is really fun. I love wild magic. I love sorcerers. I kind of gravitate towards them because the idea of where did this magic come from is really interesting to me. So I thought, okay, well, wild magic, it makes sense. I'm going to focus kind of on like illusory, like magician magic. And then I was like, okay, she used to be an elf. Again, I have no idea why I made this choice, but I thought she used to be an elf. Wild magic happened. Now she's a bunny. And It was supposed to be like a short campaign. So it was like when you build a character for a one shot, you're not building pages of backstory. So I was like, what's the name of the background? Famous Adventurer's Scion or something like that. And I thought that sounds fun. My mom is a famous warrior. My family is like a family of famous adventurers. And I'm the black sheep because I got turned into a bunny. So that was very much like, okay, oh, this is cute. I want to be like my mom, but they don't accept me because I'm a bunny. And it's this very kind of light thing. And then Jess, the DM, turned it pretty dark. And now it's like kind of a central conflict is like dealing with my mother who sold me to Archfey and doesn't accept me because I'm a bunny. And it's like now that's like the central conflict when really it was just kind of a fun lark thing.
So to wrap this conversation up, I always end with a couple of questions. First question, what's one thing that people don't realize about independent tabletop content creators like yourself?
I think you know, we were talking about a lot about confidence and talking a lot about imposter syndrome and doubting yourself. And I think all of us deal with that. And we don't recognize that in others as much as we see it in ourselves. And so we don't see the struggle. We just see the work. And we go, God, they're so amazing. They're so cool. And they're just feeling the same way that we are on the inside. They're just as doubtful, just feeling that same imposter syndrome. And, you know, kind of meeting and talking to a lot of people that I've met on TikTok, a lot of people I've started playing games with online because of these relationships that I've formed. Everybody's just so down to earth. Everybody, they're just people and they're great people. And everybody I've met has been so wonderful. And there's none of that, oh, I'm famous kind of stuff. Everybody's just like, I'm just doing what I love.
Question two. So you gave us the radio tease on this before. So let's close it off. Your first ever character in a tabletop game.
I went with a very predictable first D&D character choice of playing an elven ranger, a wood elf ranger. I think, like I said, I was really like a big consumer, a big fan of fantasy. And I thought, oh, ranger sounds like a lot of fun. And so her name was Mirma. And she was a fey wanderer ranger. I thought, well, you know, it's fun. I kind of called her the Crocodile Dundee of the Feywild. She would guide people on like Feywild excursions. And, you know, okay, I'll say the Crocodile Dundee of the Feywild without like the transphobia and the misogyny and all of that. So she would lead people on excursions. And then in the campaign, the kind of door to the Feywild had been closed. And so now she's stuck in the material plane and just kind of feeling at odds with where she is. And really, that was kind of the start of it. She was an orphan, of course, first D&D character, but she was raised by satyrs in the Feywild. Didn't really have any recollection or any interest in her birth parents, but was really connected to her satyr family. But really a pretty simple character, but the campaign went on for so long that she became a lot more interesting over time.
Wow, there you go. That's very interesting. And it's not lost on me that you're speaking to an Australian right now, and Crocodile Dundee makes an appearance. Did you trot out an Australian accent? Were
you, oh, God, no.
Doing a few gnarrs, no. So stop.
Yeah, you wouldn't want to hear any of my attempts at an Australian accent. I am not really an accent person.
You don't know me very well if you don't think I would like to hear a bad accent, that's for sure. But no, that's amazing. Yeah. Sounds awesome. By the way, here's a bit of Crocodile Dundee trivia for you from Australian. There's that the classic like shrimp on a Barbie line in that. We don't call shrimp in Australia. We call them prawns. So that whole line makes no sense to Australians, and that's one of the most common things we get said to us. Oh, chuck a shrimp on the Barbie. We're like, no, we put prawns on the Barbie, not bloody shrimps. Anyway, third question, your favorite story from your time spent around the table over the years?
So this was another campaign that I was in. It was this Out of the Abyss. Out of the Abyss is kind of heavy. It's there's a lot of darkness. And so, you know, this was a very like light moment in the campaign. So I was playing a shadow magic sorcerer. Again, sorcerers. I don't know why, but I gravitate towards sorcerers with terrible parents. All of my spells were like fear and like necrotic energy is just like really leaning into that like darkness. And I gotta say, fear is one of my favorite spells, like early levels. I don't know what level we were at this point, maybe third level or something, like right when you get fear. There's a player in that game who is just an agent of chaos. And so for some reason, we all decided to get drunk on absinthe. That player just failed all the con saves. We were in a tavern and they were like, I really want to find a cow. And I was like, okay, we're finding a cow. So they found a farm and then they were so drunk that they just started acting like they were on some sort of stealth mission, managed to get all of the cows to stampede. They stampeded towards the tavern that we were at. So suddenly there was like a cow stampede and things were on fire and it was a big mess. And so I was like, I don't want to kill all these cows. Like, they did nothing wrong. This is not their fault. So I'm like, I'm going to scare them. And of course, they're all like in this like cone of fear, right? They're very close. So the text of the spell fear says that you transform into their greatest fear, the whatever creature you're targeting. And I was like, okay, well, you know, I said, okay, well, I transform into a massive butcher. Bloodied apron, sharpened knives, like I am going to be these cows' worst nightmare. And from then on, for the rest of the campaign, I was the butcher of Gracklestug. Every time I cast fear from then on, I was some sort of butcher. And so it was like I was the butcher of Gracklestug, and then I was the butcher of Blingdenstone. And it just became this recurring joke. And it was such a, like, it's one of those inside jokes that nobody else really will. It's not as funny to them, but it's special to me.
Star, thanks for joining me on the show today. If anyone is interested in finding out more, where can they find you?
Well, really easy. You can go to characterswithoutstories.com. If you go there, you'll see the podcast and then all of my socials on there. I'm on TikTok. I'm on pretty much right now. I'm trying everything. So the podcast is also on YouTube. You can find me on TikTok. You can find me on Threads. You can find me on Instagram. You can find me on Blue Sky. I'm everywhere at this point. And pretty much everywhere, I'm Characters Without Stories, except for on TikTok, Star Mama C. And I'm playing on D&D Denial on Twitch every Saturday at 5 p.m. Pacific with Moonstone Matriarchy. Yeah, I think that's it. I think that covers it.
Wow. Jeez, I'm shocked you could even squeeze us in. Thank you so much for joining us on the show today.
Yeah, thank you.
You've been listening to The Table Business, a Sounds Like Adventure podcast all about people doing great work in the tabletop world. If you'd like to know more about anything we spoke about today, all the links for all the people that we spoke to are available in the show notes. Or head over to soundslike_pod on Instagram, and we'll definitely be talking about them there. And if you liked what you heard, why not check out Sounds Like Adventure? That's our main show. It's an actual play podcast with fun roleplay, short run times, and great sound design. But to make sure you don't miss the next episode of The Table Business, make sure you subscribe to or follow the show in your podcast app. And a 5-star review really, really helps to get a few more people to see the show. And we hear it, Sounds Like Adventure. We would be so grateful if you took the time to do that. All right. With all that in mind, we'll catch you for the next episode of The Table Business.